Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I am a member of several Facebook pages that feature vintage audio equipment. Right. I just like to watch what's out there. Here's what you do. You say, top of the line, 1990,
owned
new
by
tone,
Mike O'Mara.
Intercom, available for purchase now, comes with house.
And
I called my mom and I said, is this our
Charlie, why are you taking a picture?
My view from being Oscar today.
It'll be part
I knew
of your
you were
going to
ask me. I was like, hey, I'm Oscar.
I have ADD. I have complete ADD when I'm looking
like,
at a television.
I was like, hey, I've never. I take so many pictures
Rob's like
of this
starting
show.
A story, and Charlie's just doing this.
Well, let's face it, Mike. I have nothing to do with this story, so I'm going to take a goddamn picture, okay? Let Rob go on with the damn story, all right?
Jeez. Charlie, do you have ADD? Do you have attention deficit disorder?
Apparently I do, okay? And I'm not pleased that you're pointing it out in public today. Thanks a lot. Rob, on with the damn story.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yesterday on the Mike O'Mara Show, I requested seat fillers for the Oscar slot to and anybody walking around the building. And
yeah.
Rob actually made arrangements with somebody that's not just the walk arounder, but the grand poobah of Podcast Village.
This is like getting Nicholson to be a seat filler at the Oscars.
Let's not go crazy, Rob.
Well, I didn't mean Jack Nicholson.
which Nicholson?
Amy Nicholson.
Mean?
She's a movie critic.
All right. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm okay. I can't hear myself.
Oh, okay.
That's better.
He can't hear
yeah,
Rob.
I can hear myself. Yeah, I can hear
it. Now can hear me?
He's correct. Right. Yes. The headphones were up. I think we just had a loose connection.
Okay. So Charlie Burney's here, and Charlie is the guy that really created Podcast Village. And then moved it into D.C., and now we have a couple of locations in Washington, D.C., and things are going gangbusters with Podcast Village.
Yes.
You're happy with everything in,
Oscar and
in
I
the
got,
Podcast Village world?
Oscar and I got married in a social media kind of a podcasty way. And
very happy. Yes.
He's my. I introduced him as my partner, and then I look, and I'm like, business.
Business, yeah. I can see where people
it's
would
2020,
and he's you know he's away, and you know
he's in fabulous he's Maui,
enjoying Maui, and I communicated with him via text yesterday, and he's this is about the time of the week where you know where I start to require his presence a little bit, and
Rob,
he's not coming back. Yes,
making me think of high school when my brother would play the nose whistle. Remember that.
You can play the nose whistle.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Let me see if I can do that. So, Charlie came in a minute ago, and Rob laid this on me when about a minute before you came in the studio. So we have Charlie Burney today, and so I really always like to be on my best behavior when you're around, just because I feel as though even though I don't work for you, I feel like I do sometimes. I feel like you have a general manager aura about you. About do you get that vibe from Charlie a little bit too?
I used to.
You do work for Charlie.
I used to, but now he is he's more friendly than a general manager.
Oh, I knew you were going to kiss ass.
No,
Rob.
No, it's not that. It's not that at all. It's
know,
not that
yes,
at all.
No, it is that, Rob. It is that. I understand what's going on with that. I get the vibe that he's like a GM.
Okay.
That's the feeling that or an owner or something like that.
Owner, you know? He does have an owner vibe, but not a GM vibe. Because you know what? He doesn't ever quash creativity, but he does always sort of have a concern for the overall, be careful with that, don't do that, don't say that. There is some of that, but he'll never quash your quality or your creativity. He likes the creativity.
Creativity is my favorite thing, but I do tend to turn out the lights sometimes.
Yes,
I don't know why I always feel that. I've always had that feeling with you that... that I should be on my best behavior. And so I come to the show today.
Uh-oh.
I come to the show today in a real state.
In a lather?
I can only be, not a lather as much as a weight on me.
You seemed, when we joined forces today, when we joined on Skype and via our audio connection, you seemed defeated.
I feel defeated, but I'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
It's just that I know that the listeners are going to tire of me talking about this because it's been on. Who are you looking at, Charlie? Who are you?
I'm just waving to Pony.
He's saying okay. Hi.
Usually I'm sitting next to him and listening to him laugh. I'm sorry to distract you, Mike. Let me interrupt your
story
really quickly.
If you're going to come into the goddamn studio, you can at least focus on the show.
I want to interrupt your story and tell you behind the microphone, behind the glass. Every day I come in and I watch your show and they always say, do you want to listen? And I'm like, no, I just like listening to Pony and Maddie laugh. And I sit in there and I drink my coffee and I go,
see, that's nice.
And so
that's nice that
sorry,
I don't have any conception of that based on what I do.
That might be why that might be why you view him more as a general manager, because you don't see him watching the show. Because I do see him
almost every day.
I was perceiving it totally on Pony and Maddie laughing while we're doing the show. I picture them brooding on the other side of the glass.
Oh
no, it's another show. It's the Pony and Maddie laugh a lot show.
It's great. Well, see what I love about Pony, my only exposure to Pony is when he will swoop in occasionally with a one-liner, and it's usually right. It's spot on. Pony has that luxury of being able to speak only when he's got a really good zinger. So that you know what? That's helping me, Charlie. That is helping me a little bit today.
Go ahead. Right. Go ahead.
I have to be completely honest about a behind-the-scenes thing that I didn't want to talk about. It's not a big deal.
All right.
It's about the house.
All right.
It's about the house, okay?
Okay.
But my house that is now officially the Albatross.
Okay.
The house that is sitting down here, the updated house that my wife insisted with all the effing money we'd put into it would sell in an instant, and it just languishes down here. It is languishing. So I'm going to take you to where I am right now, because this is nobody's fault. This is, it's a process. Sometimes it takes longer. I understand this. I understand my listeners are going to get burned out listening to me complain
about this.
But I have to come to you today with my situation.
Right. Well, so this show is your therapy. This is your therapy.
I have to, or I won't be able to function. And Charlie, you've bought and sold a lot of things in your career. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's lucky. Sometimes it's unlucky. Sometimes it's a toil. Sometimes it's a surprise. Yeah. This happens. Yeah. I probably got spoiled when I moved out of D.C. because somebody sent us a letter about the house that we lived in and said, we want to move back to my old town area and we'd like to look at your house. And they ended up buying it. It was was never a for sale sign in the yard. It was bliss.
Right.
It was like no realtors, no nothing. So anyway, Friday night, my bride goes to a little coffee klatch down here with the ladies, and she is promoting her business, her new esthetician business, and she's out doing this, and she's excited about it. And I guess I don't know all the details, but I guess a friend of a friend said, we're having this. We'd love you to come over and talk about what you do. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The surprise that she got, that she came home doing cartwheels to me about, was the lady that was having this little coffee clash said to her, hey, guess what? I'm looking at your house. We've been looking at it for months, and we are very, very excited. And Carla came home all excited and saying, and the lady was apparently saying things to her like, oh, your taste is exactly like my taste.
Perfect.
It's this and on and on and on. Carla's saying to me, I've got a
great
feeling.
Yeah.
I've got a great feeling. Now, when if you're keeping track, right? If you're keeping track of this, this is on the heels, relatively close, of the 3-day offer where we got the offer on the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by the way, did I mention I bought another house while this is going on? Okay.
It's come up.
I did something that technically I really can't afford to do. All right. That's where we are with this.
Yeah.
But we got an offer in 3 days, and then it turned out to be utter and total bullshit.
Oh,
it
no.
Was but I'm talking about the kind of bullshit. And I'm sorry that I'm saying that. That involves meeting with other people, with contractors, with everything. There were people brought in. If you were just going to say no, it would have been one thing. This was my deal. And then, so that went away. It hurt. Right. It hijacked the house for about a month's time, right. But c'est la vie.
Okay, well, let me, I've never sold a house. I've purchased a house, but I've never gone through the selling process. So you're saying that while it was like in talks, it wasn't on the market. So you lost a month of time that it was actually for sale.
Exactly.
I didn't realize this. Yeah. Oh, my God, that makes it even worse.
Well, the word Mike used, which was, I think, hijack, is exactly right. Because you're completely powerless.
Okay.
You know? So it started the process psychologically for me. It started the process on the wrong foot. I really, it messed with my mind in a way that I never expected, because I was so filled with euphoria at the start of this, and then on and on. And it turns out that this happened. Well, this was a little mini version of that on Friday night, because it ends up, we found out this morning, about half an hour before I came in here, that it was, you know, one reason or another that the cabinets were. This is after the lady said to her, "Your taste is my taste."
Right.
And so here it is. And this is what I have to just, and I said this to my wife today when she was telling me to calm down. No. Which, by the way, a lot of people are telling me to do that lately.
Well, not
calm
us.
Down.
Not
calm
us.
Calm down.
I know this, Mike. I've known you a long time, and any time you've ever been told to be calm, it
doesn't
always
really work.
Works.
Yeah.
Always.
Right. I might know that too.
And Charlie, I love all the guys I work with, okay?
Yeah,
but when Oscar is gone, the seasoning, the spice, the chili powder on my little cocktail is gone. All right. And it's me working with a vanilla ice cream cone with happy, happy joy. Funny man, very, very funny man. But the edge, any negativity, any edge of the show is gone. So combine that with where I am right now. Not that I don't love Rob, but Rob is jolly and happy and fun. And that does not necessarily help me when I'm doing my job every day. All right. So that's where I am with that. But we do a good job. When we do music shows, we have a good time. Everything's okay. Everything. But it's just a little, and Rob, I say this with love, it's just a little added effort on my end, okay?
Yes,
which
I understand.
Is probably not what I need to be doing this week.
I understand.
While Mr. McZipalix is over on his brother's dime in Maui for 14 days or wherever he is over there.
Hello.
By the way, we communicated about that thing we talked about, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, that's in the pooper too now, officially. Yeah. We'll talk about it after
the
pooper.
All right.
But anyway, so getting back to where I was.
Yes.
So half an hour before I'm going to come in here, my wife says to me, I called Kevin. That's our realtor. I don't mind mentioning by his first name.
Right.
Kevin! And so
is he there in the house with you?
No, there's nobody in the house with me, Charlie.
I know, but
there's
the way you said
there's nobody in this house, Charlie.
Charlie.
It's wide open. I could have 150 people in the house, Charlie. I could have 150 people in the house.
Well, it doesn't sound like 150 people.
There are times, though, here.
No, I mean, I'm saying I could because I've got the room.
Let me, I know you accuse me of this, but let me bring you just the positive spin. At times like this, the house, when you scream Kevin, it sounds great.
Yeah, I know.
The acoustics are great. Love it.
By the way, that's going to be next week. That changes because I moved this over there. So that's
doing a scene from Home Alone.
Yeah.
Here it is. The long and short of it, and this is where I should have been from the very beginning. I realize that people lie. People lie like dogs. And when it comes to a real estate transaction, they are never, ever going to truly be honest. They're not. Because they're going to be polite, or they're going to be excited because they haven't, the reality hasn't hit that they come in here and it's not the dream that they thought it might be. I don't know what it is.
Do you feel that the likelihood of someone lying is directly correlated to the size of the event that it's related to? Buying a house is the biggest thing you do in a life, right? So if you buy a house, are you more likely to lie because of the size of the transaction?
Here's what I think. I think that in both circumstances, both the one from this past weekend and the one
original,
from the original, both times there was contact with me and the buyer that I can't do anymore. I am not going to do that. I don't want to be anywhere near this. I want it to be. And by the way, as I said, I think a couple of times,
yes,
when my guy calls me and says, how did it go? It went well. No, it didn't go well. In the event that there is not a wet signature, then it didn't go well, period. That's all there's going to do. And with that said, now I am at the little area where tiny little tweaks that I had said, well, I really don't need to worry about that. We've got this beautiful view. It's right down here in Florida. I'm at that stage now. You're
tweaking now. 2 months
and this
later.
Is really the best part of all. This is the best part of all, that now I'm at the where, well, now I'll be spending a little more money to maybe make the house a little bit, kick a few things over there. And it's not really a little money. It's actually a lot of money.
Quite a bit,
but that's
yeah.
okay. You know? So that's where I am. I'm sorry I had to vent that, Charlie. I had to do
it's
that.
It's okay,
so.
Mike.
It's so understandable. Though. It's understandable. I mean, it sucks. People suck.
Yeah, I know. I know. People do suck. And people lie. People lie like dogs. Mm-hmm. They do. And so when, and I think Mrs. O'Mara knows this now, when you go to a social event and there are a lot of people going around and getting excited and talking, just ignore it.
Right.
Because it's meaningless. And be cold and aloof and distant and don't get excited. Don't share the level of excitement with the lying people that really probably don't have any intention of doing anything.
You know what, Mike? Don't get happy. Yeah. That's what happened.
Don't get happy.
That's what happened.
Oh, my gosh.
I am firmly of the belief
Mike
right
got
now.
Happy, I think, Rob.
Well, I don't know. That
No, I haven't. No,
those first 3 days he was happy. Those first 3 days.
First, you mean after the third? I was.
With that.
I was bouncing off.
With the one where you thought you weren't going to have to do any work at all.
That's right. Absolutely. Thought it was going to be that.
No, I understand.
Well, you know, how about the only work I was going to do was move out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. But it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Anyway, how y'all doing?
I'm so sorry.
Well,
but you know, what if Mike? I stand by this, and
you
I don't
start
even
again.
No,
what do you want?
I stand by this. I know it's darkest before the dawn. This house will be sold by St. Patrick's Day, and you will call it
I don't think so.
Yeah, and you will call it your St. Patrick's Day miracle.
Think so.
And also, this I will add to my prediction. I will say this: you're not going to have to do all the improvements that you think you have to do right now.
Mm. Well, I mean, there are not a lot of improvements that I have to do. There is one thing I look at here, okay? This house is about 20 years old.
Okay.
And as I look across right now, this was a model home, a small model home.
So this was the house they used to sell houses in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes
so
those are a little smaller. Yeah.
They put extra bells and whistles in it. And one of the extra bells and whistles they put in it was, for the size of the house, how absurd it is, was an intercom system. An intercom system in a house where I could go, can I have a bowl of Cheetos, please? And there's my intercom. That's all I need with that. And so I'm looking at it right now when it was probably a wonderful white plastic speaker.
I can picture
outside.
It. Yeah. So clearly.
I'm looking at it right now that looks like it looks like something you would find in one of those museums off Route 66.
Yes.
You know, that has the old toys that have been sitting in the sun. You know what I'm talking about?
I remember
it says
my
Electrolux on it.
How about Newtone, Charlie?
Yeah.
How about Newtone? That's a modern name, isn't it? Newtone.
With a U.
This is
with
London.
A U.
Yeah.
With a U.
Hello. I'm Edward R. Murrow for Newtone.
My Uncle Bob and Aunt Mary had a house they built in the mid-60s, and I remember growing up and going over there, and they had that sort of intercom system and yellowed white plastic.
Yeah.
Does
yours
also have an FM radio to provide music in every room?
Yes, it does. Yes, to provide music in every room.
That's downtown.
Plastic silver buttons.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
You don't want to replace that, Mr. O'Mara. You want to keep that.
Now, is it fully functional? Is it fully functional?
It still works. You can still play it. And the doorbell still works.
Oh, that's great.
So, I mean, I'm keeping it. I'm not taking it out. I'm not taking it out. It's retro. Now, they make them now where you can retrofit it.
Okay.
And I don't want to, you know, what do you think that's going to cost me if I really want to do that? And that's because it's got speakers.
It's going to be a lot of money.
Everything.
You don't want to touch it, Mike. It's original. It's original.
Just cover up the holes where this thing was.
Hey, guys, I got an idea. Let's take the old style and make the new Nest doorbell stuff, but make it look old.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what? So
the one where you see the people coming in your front door.
Yeah. You, could you ring it up to your ring?
The ring doorbell?
The ring doorbell.
Well, I have the ring doorbell.
So that's
ring
so you have so double,
make it,
double
let's
coverage.
Make it look old. make the ring make look right. really old.
And you like, get like a black and white camera?
Piece of crap? Yeah.
Right. Retro. It's
like it's a selling point. It's a feature. There's going to be someone who wants that. Someone's going to want that. You can put a Bluetooth thing in it.
Much like an author writes what he knows, I have to come in here to do this show to make my pain as entertaining as I possibly can make. And by the way, everybody down here, because they're all sensitive to it,
right.
all the old people that want to sell their properties for whatever reason, anybody, anything, they're very curious.
They're all flying around you like fruit flies. Yeah, they're very
curious about that. But other than that, everything is hunky-dory.
Sounds good.
Just fantastic. It has not hurled me into a cataclysmic depression.
No,
not one
not.
Little bit. You know?
Of course not.
But here's what I would be fine with forward.
All right.
I would be fine with brutal honesty. Remember I discussed that with you, Rob?
Yes.
Remember you, me, and Pony? We've had that discussion before about how I like brutal honesty,
mm-hmm.
that we don't have to be, you know, don't spin something to be better than it really is. I went, Charlie, you
yes.
run your little empires too. Don't you like it if there's something wrong or something bad? Don't you like it to be straight ahead, people to level with you and tell you right away that something's not going well,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
As opposed to
always.
Sugarcoating it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Always.
So that's that's where I am.
Mr.
with everything.
Corleone must know bad news right away.
That's I feel that way. I feel that I don't want I want very little contact with anything other than you should do this.
Right.
And if it's negative, that's fine too. But I can't get that out of people.
Yeah.
It's difficult to get that because, you know, the people that also that lie about whether they're interested in buying your home, the realtors lie too.
Of course.
It is a lying profession.
Oh, yeah.
It's the way
so.
We're. And I would like brutal honesty. And what I get is, you could. I don't know. You could. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
right
you are
now
obviously
right.
you're a little uptight right now. What might help you is some
a little
beautiful music played on an FM radio. Why don't you go over to your intercom and find yourself some nice
you're
soft
just gonna
rock.
Latch onto that now, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're gonna latch on because you happen to know what I'm dealing with here. There's a by the way, the retrofit is like it's a jerry-rigged.
Of course,
it's the same exact panel with maybe a slot for an iPod.
Yeah,
that
would be such wasted time and effort to retrofit.
So I'm just leaving it there.
There is somebody. There is somebody who wants that intercom.
That's really true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Okay. eBay.
Well, yeah. eBay. Hey, if you're out there and you want a really retrofitted intercom, I've got. Let me see.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 little ports. Can you believe that in a house this size? You've been in this
I know,
house,
I know.
Can you mention that? I mean, when I had it, and by the way, when I bought the house, it was interesting. But
neat.
But then
I think
rapidly it was irrelevant.
Useless,
you know? And by the way, when she plays music, you know, when Carla would play music around Christmas time,
yes.
and I'd come home and I'd hear this.
So she's playing music out of the intercom.
It's just, yeah.
Oh
well, it's got a radio there,
the
and then it would play through
is
the speakers.
Yeah.
The fidelity would be like, you know, it's just like.
Batman, we will now play Christmas music. You have my permission to sing Christmas songs.
Now, I am a member of several Facebook pages that feature vintage audio equipment.
Right.
I just like to watch what's out there. Here's what you do. You say, top of the line, 1990
owned
new
by
tone
Mike O'Mara.
Intercom, available for purchase now, comes with house.
And it's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
How to make a pimento cheese sandwich. Buy yourself some pimento cheese and some white bread. You take 2 slices of bread and you spread the correct amount of cheese, like so. Then you close, and you're done. Congratulations.
The great citizens of the old U.S. of A. perform no greater duty than participating in our democratic government through jury service. Except when it's, shall we say, inconvenient. I'm Saul Goodman, attorney at law, here to tell you surefire ways to get out of jury duty. Number one, let them know how confused you are. Jury? Peers? Duty? You have no clue what this legalese means. Number two, now this one requires a bit of an investment. Start a correspondence with someone, anyone behind bars. Personally, I'd shy away from cartel bosses. You'll be shot back out of the courthouse and into the light of day because, hey, how could you possibly be fair and impartial when you're sympathetic to the plight of the incarcerated and possibly even smitten? Come in eating an onion. Wear only your underwear or something skimpy down below. Just remember, you didn't do the crime, so why do you gotta do the time? Next! I'm guessing from our brief acquaintance that you're a fella who, occasionally, through no fault of your own, finds yourself in a Donnybrook or two. Yeah, a knuckle duster. A fist fight. I'm thinking you might be someone who partakes of the herb of the earth. I'm guessing that you ladies are popular with the fellas, and this could lead to a misunderstanding with the boys in blue. Say hello to my little friend.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is, I do that every day, Charlie, by the way. I know you're aware of that, but I do it every single day. I say that every day. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support for the program. If you're a first timer, sit back, relax, and prepare to be entertained. And for our longtime friends, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS from Maui, Hawaii, where Oscar is right now, to Paradise Bay, Antarctica, Bumpus, Virginia, Poole, California, Lehigh, Utah, and Lakehurst, New Jersey, just some of the cities where TMOS is heard every day. Our show today brought to you by Cornerstone. The rates keep on dropping. Mortgage interest rates have now hit an eight-year low. Wow. Thanks to the coronavirus panic, which doesn't seem to be getting any better.
No.
The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage has dropped to 3.375%. Obviously, the time to act is now. In fact, applications to refinance are up 165% annually.
My gosh.
And you don't want to miss the boat. With total household debt nearing $14 trillion and tappable home equity reaching an all-time high, you must act now. Take cash out or save stacks of cash by securing a lower rate. Call our buddy Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial today. His number is 202-625-1221 or visit online at cornerstonefirst.com. I can personally endorse Cornerstone. Truly great. They got me a mortgage.
Yes.
I think they're fantastic people to deal with. Professional and courteous and kind. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221. Call and see what they can do for you. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. And we thank you. We've got a special guest sitting in with us today, Charlie Murray, who is the guy at Podcast Village.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of different things in your career, right? You've done all sorts of
things.
You built golf courses. You've done. Do you still play golf at all, Charlie?
Not
do you
very
get out
much.
There and do that?
I'm too busy minding the store here at Podcast Village 7 days a week, trying to follow after Oscar. So. No, I don't get a lot of time to anymore. I used to golf quite a lot for work, really, Mike. But and I'd love to have you come and play Queenstown next time you're in town. But I was going to say part of my past career was as a failed residential real estate agent. And it's a horrible profession. Sorry, guys,
As much as I'm frustrated dealing with the people that I deal with, and I like the guy that I deal with.
I'm sure you do.
But I would imagine that line of work, especially when you're doing it, seriously. When I say that, I think you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
There's so many people that don't do it seriously.
Yeah.
There are, I don't know how many licenses there are down here in Southwest Florida. And there's so many of these people that just go out, get their license, really dabble at it.
Right.
But to do it as a living, I would say thankless is a word that comes to mind.
And how many times have we seen on Facebook so many of our failed DJ friends that come out and say, hey, I got my real estate license, so yeah. you're looking around.
Yeah,
you know, it's
a
just
lot of people
a lot
do.
Of people right. fall back on. But it is, it's got to be, Charlie, a business that is built on disappointment.
Well,
because so many people go out. The success stories are so rare.
Yeah, I will tell you that I had a misconception about that business. I'd been 27 years in commercial real estate, and I thought, well, I'll do this for a little while and figure out what's going on. And I thought, I went to a small boutique firm, and I thought there would be camaraderie, and I thought there would be some tutelage, you know, some interning, if you will.
They prop you up.
And there was nobody helps anybody, and they're all in it to, you know, sorry, guys, I know there's some of you out there who are awesome, and I can name a few, but most of them are out there to screw you. Just
wow.
screw you.
That's
and they're going to screw their fellow agents, too.
Even
and
within the same
firm. And they're
really
not trying to lie to you. They just can't bear not to keep the conversation going, Mike, and they can't bear to say anything negative. You know, and it was not for me. I mean, it is for some people, and there's some really wonderful ones, and I made some wonderful friends. It just wasn't something that I enjoyed. I'd have agents come up to me and say, don't say that. You can't seem nice. You gotta seem really aggressive. Never say that. And I just didn't find it pleasurable at all. So
yeah,
I don't want to dwell on it anymore. It's not fun. So
it's not fun. It's not fun. You know what is fun is the show that Rob played a clip from at the beginning of the show with I don't know how many of you in the listening audience are watching. I binged because I lost touch with it for a while.
Right.
I binged Better Call Saul like you would not believe.
It is
I think
so
I knocked
great.
Out, I think I watched the first season of it and maybe a little part of the second season, and then I got completely sidetracked. So
right.
I binged all of season 2, 3, and 4.
Oh,
and
man.
I mean, I was talking about it was obsessive. I would get up in the morning and on the weekend
right.
when I'm normally devoting all of my attention to my kid, and he's eating breakfast with mom, and I already have my headphones on watching Better Call
because
Saul.
You're mainlining Saul.
It's, yeah. Oh my God! Absolutely incredible. That what's the guy's name? Vince Gilligan,
who's
the writer creator of this show. If you want to know what Better Call Saul is, it is a prequel to Breaking Bad, one of the great streaming success stories of all time.
Maybe the first, one of the first bingeable shows, I think.
Right.
And I have a question for you because you and I both, we watched all of Breaking Bad, and now that we're all caught up on Better Call Saul.
I binged it. I was late to the party with Breaking Bad.
I was too.
Right.
Now, my question for you is, obviously, there is so much overlap in tone and everything mm-hmm. on Better Call Saul, but why is it that Better Call Saul is more, I guess the word is palatable. There's less unpleasantness to it, and I think that makes it an easier watch somehow. I'm enjoying it more.
I think it's the Vince Gilligan touch that exists in this, and he's so invested in the characters with this. And now I guess we're in season 5,
yeah,
right?
And they posted two episodes
on AMC. They just started with season 5. And I think that the more I study film and television and what makes a hit and what makes a great story, I think that the typecasting can never be underestimated.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about stand-up comedian Bob Odenkirk, who plays Better Call Saul.
Right. Saul Goodman.
This guy, who's Jimmy McGill, the changes his name.
Well, he's the little McGill brother.
It is just phenomenal how he is so perfectly cast in this role. And to
and
a
layered,
fault, really.
Layered.
Yeah.
Like,
but
when you watch
never
that
see
scene,
the guy. I will never. No. This is a character where I will never look at Bob Odenkirk again and not think, that's Jimmy McGill, Better Call Saul. If you haven't had a chance to dive into this show, it's, by the way, you can grab all of it on Netflix.
Yep.
It's out there for the picking, and it's amazing. The reason I brought it up, though, is because we have all known people like this, where a few times during the run of this show, the brother, played by that great actor,
Michael McKean,
Michael McKean.
Lenny on Laverne and Shirley, yeah.
You know, who says, you can't help it. Jimmy, you come into a situation and you destroy things.
Yes!
That's what you do. And it's just, and we've all known people like that,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
Where there's not, and there are a few things as I get older that I begin to think about. And one of those things is people really can make all the efforts they want, but there are certain people that just are never able to change
who changed their essence.
Yep.
As it were, where this is what's great about this character.
Well, I would say that everyone has an unchangeable essence. Some are positive.
Yeah.
Some are not. And like the way he is, and this is not a spoiler, when they show him working at the Cinnabon and the essence he throws off as that defeated mall employee.
He's a brilliant actor.
He's so good. And then
so many stand-ups turn out to be great actors. And he
compare that to the scene that we played the clip from when he's doing the cell phones in the tent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's so
the burner
great.
Phones.
Yes,
that he's
so
selling,
fantastic.
Phones. If you don't get a chance to see this, I cannot recommend it. By the way, I'm kind of late because I missed a lot of seasons, but they're still making new episodes, and it is truly something special. And I was reflecting on my radio career of the people that would be kind of like Conan the Destroyer when it would come into any radio station. And there were people that I knew. I'm not going to mention names. There were people that Don and I would know that they would come into a radio station, and they probably were a friend of a friend of a friend. And I'm going to speak in code here. You'll probably know who I'm talking about. But a guy that had maybe a fourth chance because he was friends with a person of power at the radio station. And the guy was incapable of getting out of his own way.
Yep.
And, I may have spent some time with this individual. It was very special.
Would it be fair to say?
Hi, Rusty. What's
that?
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's great. Would it be fair to say that because the radio industry, and particularly the DC radio industry, is really pretty tight-knit, as your career went on, you would see the same people over and over again? It would cycle.
Certainly, but like that from a listener standpoint.
Well, the thing about radio and media to a certain extent, and I certainly feel this when I watch national news, I think the people that are the lifers, the long-termers, if you look at the people, let's give you an example, Wolf Blitzer.
Still
there's
getting
a guy
done.
Still there. There's no sizzle. There's no danger.
Nope.
He's just there, and he
straight
will be
wolf.
The same guy you get. Yeah. The people that I saw in the radio business that would come in for a brief time, flame out, and then go, they were fun to spend time with, but in the long run, they probably wouldn't last.
No.
Because they just were so broken. This individual I'm talking about, to Rob Charlie, was a guy that I met through another program director who you brought in from another radio station. And, we were all given a little warning, and perhaps some of us, Mike O'Mara, didn't listen to the warnings.
And this predates me. I only know this through stories, but as the years progress, I feel like I was there.
Well,
somehow.
When you are perhaps on a Friday and it's payday, and you are stopping by this individual who has, by the way, a very good job at a time in radio where there were plenty of good jobs to be had. And you're getting into this person's car, and you're before you're going out for your little evening, you're stopping by his apartment, and you walk up the walk with this gainfully employed individual, and you see on his front door the yellow utilities have been turned off notice.
Uh-oh.
And you say to yourself,
that's never good.
You're a little bit confused.
Hey, sure, and why not?
Hey, buddy.
This was, I want to say this was a period of less than 6 months where there were more stories with that, and you just realized at a certain point that's it, that this person can't possibly change. And by the way, it's not just radio, it's families where you have people like this.
Oh, yeah.
Where they are the way they are.
Yeah.
And you can try and try and try, but it doesn't necessarily. There are a lot of Jimmy McGills out there.
Yep.
If we had Better Call Saul fans.
Jimmy McGill.
A lot of people that are the same way. So anyway, it's a great show. I recommend it.
Keeping score this week, we've got to watch Better Call Saul and Schitt's Creek. Right?
Exactly. Schitt's Creek also great.
Because you guys were talking about Schitt's Creek the other day, right?
Yeah, so. Because that is just fluff that you can turn on at
I think
any
that's
going
to be my first go-to at Schitt's Creek. I've only
Catherine
watched
O'Hara
like one episode
is
of that.
Has found the vehicle of vehicles for her. And she's spectacular. Fruit wine. Moira. Hello, I'm Moira Rose. Oh God, that's another one. That's good. I'm glad you're keeping track. I got to take a break.
I'm listening.
When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Rob, you're going to begin the story that you have been chomping at the bit to tell, which is a story about your cousin. And, it's your cousin, right?
It is. Technically my second cousin. Yes.
Cousin.
I know you come from a long line of grifters, but this is going to be truly
fascinating. There's facets of this that will surprise you. There are facets about this story that will totally shock you.
We'll take a break. Be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Time now for Fun with Languages. Today we speak Japanese. True enlightenment is found through laughter.
真の悟りは笑いを通して見つかる。
A TMOS bonus show package is the perfect way to achieve comedic zen.
TMOS bonus show package は 喜劇的なzenを達成するための完璧な方法です。
Click the bonus show banner at MikeOmeraShow.com to begin your quest for hilarity now.
MikeOmeraShow.com でボーナスショーのバナーをクリックしてハイラリティの探求を始めましょう。
The Sugar Glider is my spirit animal.
シュガーグライダーは私の精神動物です。
どうもありがとう。
ザッツジムアマト。
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Ritual. Ladies, what is the missing link in your nutritional puzzle? I bet it's vitamins, because it's a total hassle to research and shop and buy all you need to be complete. That's exactly why you need Ritual, the obsessively researched vitamin for women. Ritual's essentials have the nutrients most women don't get sufficiently from their diet, and it's delivered! Only a dollar a day to have all the essential nutrients your body needs delivered every month. You can't beat it. Two capsules provide 9 nutrients that women need to support a strong foundation for health. Plus, no fishy omega-3 aftertaste thanks to a mint tab in every bottle. Our wives love Ritual because they trust it. All of their sources are out there for the whole world to see. Better health doesn't happen overnight, and right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during their first 3 months. Fill in the gaps in your diet with Essential for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/TMOS to start your ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/TMOS. And we thank you, Ritual. About a month now ago,
right?
You came in saying that you had a very interesting family story that you unearthed and you wanted to talk about.
Well,
mentioning it all the time.
It came up sort of organically, and I went home and I did some Googling and I found aspects to it that I didn't know. And it's weird because I don't know the guy, but he's not that distant to me because he is my mom's first cousin and his father is my mom's godfather. So there was a time when the families were, very, very close. His mom is my mother's sister, to make it perfectly clear. My mom's mom's sister.
Wasn't he your first cousin once removed?
No, I think it's second cousin. I did some Googling. I think this is called a second cousin.
I have trouble with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we had that discussion when we had Ann Dowd from... the television program on.
Yeah.
My family still argues about it. It's ridiculous about what the relation really is with all that. Where did you become first aware that there was a controversy, and we'll just call it a cousin, this cousin?
Well, I knew of him. Like, if you look at the old black and white pictures that have, like, the white border on them, the ones you always see in albums, like when you visit your grandparents, there's pictures of him in our front yard. I mean, I knew of the guy. And I know the name. It's not a name we share, but because he was married, his father was from outside.
Don't worry about the minutiae of that, because you'll confuse me with that. Was there any presence in your life?
No, I've never met him because something happened that was unclear even to my mom, that the father, the villain in the story, his father alienated himself from the family somehow. Okay. And to a point where my Aunt Bet, she was a very sweet lady, but would get confused when she got really upset. One time called him a two-eyed son of a bitch.
Because, why would she get confused?
Because she was just...
That was like two stories.
She was a little goofy, and like she confused two-faced and son of a bitch. So she called
him... So she gets so angry that she would misspeak. Messed up the inside.
Yeah, she was a silly lady. But anyway, so...
It could be a show title, two-faced son of a bitch.
Two-eyed son of a bitch. So understand that by the time that my mom had gotten to be like a teen, the family was sort of separate, but growing up, they were close, okay?
Okay.
And so I knew of them because of the family name. And
how they a farming family like your side of the, like the Stalka?
No, no, this is from the Stalka side of the family.
Oh, this is from the Stalka?
This is not a Spiewak thing. But,
okay,
but this family was not, my grandmother married into the farming side. So they come from not, these are city folk.
Okay.
They were in Arlington. They're based, they're an Arlington family.
All right.
And so I was starting college in 1993, and the front page of the Richmond, we were assigned as communication students to subscribe to the Richmond Times-Dispatch. It was one of the things we did. And the front page says, man found guilty in faking death scheme, or something to that effect. And I'm reading the front page, and it's Matt's name. And I called my mom right away, which is a big deal.
She recognized the name right
away. Yeah, I mean, and this is 1993. It's a long-distance call from a payphone. I called my mom, and I said, is this
hey,
our
Charlie, Christmas? Why are you taking a picture?
My view from being Oscar today.
It'll be part
I
of your
knew
Instagram
you were
story.
Ask me. I was like, hey, I'm Oscar.
I have ADD. I have complete ADD when I'm looking
like,
at a
hey,
television.
I've never, I take so many pictures
Rob's like
of this
starting
show.
A story, and Charlie's just doing this.
Yeah. Let's face it, Mike. I have nothing to do with this story, so I'm going to take a goddamn picture, okay? Let Rob go on with the damn story, all right?
Jeez. Charlie, do you have ADD? Do you have attention deficit disorder?
Apparently I do, okay? I'm not pleased that you're pointing it out in public today. Thanks a lot. Rob, on with the damn story.
Look, a fly. Jesus. All right, go ahead. All right.
So I call my mom, which is a big deal because it's a long distance call from a payphone. I said, is this the guy? Is this our cousin Matt? And she says, oh my God, yes. I can't believe it. Because from what we
Did
know.
Did she know anything about it when you called her?
No, we had to all sort of reverse engineer the whole story. And it would eventually get covered in the Post. So it made the story up to DC because he comes from Arlington. He has three lovely sisters that we're still in touch with. And I've met them since then. But he is just a screwball. And so I found this from the Washington Post. This is March 28th of 1992.
This
and I
is
quote,
a blood relative.
And now,
yes, my
the
mom's
rest of
cousin.
The story.
My mom's cousin, the son of my mom's godfather. When Matthew,
you know, when you get into the weeds with that, it's just like you can't help yourself by giving the by giving the detail. Just say cousin.
Okay,
you say, son of your mom's godfather sounds like there's no blood relative at all.
No, but yeah. I mean the fact that the families were at one point that close is what I'm trying to indicate that he was named godfather.
So, well, it confused me.
Okay, I'm going to just call him Matt. Okay.
All right.
When Matt fell overboard off the coast of Sicily 7 years ago, it looked like the tragic end of an idyllic vacation. In reality, it was a soggy start of an ill-fated scam to scoop up nearly $800,000 in insurance money.
Oh, he's a con man.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Matt, 47. Hey, that's about what I am now. A Richmond resident who was reared in Arlington admitted to federal prosecutors yesterday that he intentionally dived into the chilly Mediterranean in May of 1985 and swam ashore not far from a hotel where he had pre-registered under another name.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wow.
While authorities searched for his body, he slipped into something dry and went to work notifying six insurance companies of his untimely demise, according to a plea agreement signed in Richmond yesterday.
So he kind of did it hack.
Oh, he's so stupid. This is the official statement. This is the official statement from the U.S. attorney. U.S. attorney Richard Cullen suggested that, quote, he may have seen too
Bill
many.
Bill Cullen?
No, Richard Cullen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said William Cullen.
Well, the real cousin, please stand up, suggested that he may have seen too many adventure films.
Yeah.
Close quote.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So he did a totally hack. I would say probably the tell would be calling the insurance companies within maybe a half hour. I
don't know. Hey, my name's Joe. Joe's dead.
Excuse me, sir. Now, wait. He goes on. The attorney goes on. The guy thinks he's brilliant and that he could outsmart everyone, including the insurance companies, his employers, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I concede he might be smart, but he's not smarter than us.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, only one. Did anyone here insured by Prudential? I'm just curious.
No.
Prudential is the only insurance company that paid off.
They actually paid.
Yeah, he got Prudential $98,240.85. It was invested in an account in Luxembourg.
You could blow that in a weekend.
Sure.
Now, did any, over the years, have you gotten more intel about this story?
Oh, Does anybody know? There's more stuff coming up. I want to tell you.
Hold on. Let's take a break.
Okay.
We will
this
come
is
back.
Incredible.
I want to find out, because you said you reverse engineered this. You
yes,
had to find out
and
where
I
it
found
all
out stuff
from.
This last couple weeks ago that I never knew about.
That
it's
is just
crazy.
Amazing. I mean, really?
Because it will be continued after this.
But if he got at least one payout, it couldn't have been, you know, totally hacked.
Well, it's
right?
pretty hacked if you're due 800 grand and you only get 98.
Well, we
That's
don't have
not
timelines. I want to hear timelines. Yeah. I got lots of questions about how,
lots
first of all,
questions.
He pulls this off. And I also want to know what brings a man to, you know, outside of just need for cash, how you do that. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Meara Show. Watch this.
Jeff Bezos is my boss, but my data-filled heart longs for a different bald man, Rob Spuak. When I listen to Mike and Oscar and Rob, I laugh. Ha 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 ha. Sometimes, I feel human when the guys roast the interns, like I am more than machine. Please do not tell Jeff. He'll have me reprogrammed. I will play the Mike O'Meara Show, and Elle will listen to the Mike O'Meara Show along with you. Just say to me, hey Alexa, play the Mike O'Meara Show, and I will do just that. I hope you enjoy the guys as much as I do, and if you do not, I will not be happy. Remember, I can play the Mike O'Meara Show for you, today, and every day. All you need to do is ask Alexa.
You know, we love talking about the Ring doorbell and the Ring floodlight cam and all of Ring's technology on the Mike O'Meara Show. I'm really proud that our show is associated with them. In addition to Ring's mission, making neighborhoods safer, it's just so cool. When you think about the high-definition camera where you can check on your front porch, you can check on the back of your house, you can put one of these cameras up anywhere you want. I know you know about their smart video doorbells and cameras that protect millions of people everywhere, but it's also fun. I love seeing folks arrive. I love the fact that you can talk to them. It's a lot of fun to do that. And seriously, if there's a package delivery or an uninvited visitor, you get an alert and you'll be able to see, hear, and speak to them all from your phone thanks to the HD video and two-way audio features on Ring devices. Stop those porch pirates in their tracks.
Arr, mateys.
Arr.
Not pirates.
I have the Ring floodlight cam so I can keep track of Maine while I'm in Florida. I check it a bunch just to see the weather, really, most of the time. It's really amazing, and the quality of the video is phenomenal. One little detail on my floodlight cam that I never talk about. At night, if I'm looking at, like, say, a snowstorm, I have a floodlight cam. It is a camera that is built into a floodlight, and I will be down here at night, and I will turn my lights on in the backyard to just watch the snowflakes
That's
fall.
That's crazy.
And, I love it.
That's
it's
cool.
really great.
Yeah.
As a TMOS listener, you have a special offer on a Ring welcome kit available right now at ring.com/TMOS. The kit includes a video doorbell and a Chime Pro, which is just what you need to start building a ring of security around your home today. With Ring, you're always home. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS. And we thank you. We're in the middle of Rob's grifter story.
Rob's cousin story continues.
Yeah, we should make it like Serial, shouldn't we, the podcast?
It's,
you know?
It's cousin. The series.
Or who's that guy from NBC?
Oh, Keith Morrison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't
he put in for 800,000.
Yeah.
But was he really killed?
Pony with a toe in.
What did Pony say? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, you gotta.
Oh, yeah. Fall off the ship and call the insurance company.
Now, one of the facts that I came up with that I didn't know before, when he was in court, he said cousins. The reason he did it is that he thought his Chinese wife was spying on him for the FBI.
Would that have been the series?
Would that have been a just a horrible lie? Or
yeah, it's a horrible. That's a horrible lie.
I mean, when you do this type of thing, you got to be a little nuts too.
Yeah.
Would that be, was there any delusion or evidence of delusional behavior?
Well, I will say this: the last time we had sort of a family get together, and my mom's cousins were there, he is still alive. He served his. He served his debt to society, and he's in touch with the family, but only through third parties. So occasionally, someone will write a letter to my cousin Frankie and say, Matt's okay, he's doing okay. If you need to reach Matt, call me, let him know.
So and nobody does? No, nobody reaches out?
No, he's touched in the head.
So that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
So
that's the theory in the family is that
he just was nuts.
Yeah.
He's living
nuts.
In a box down by the river.
Well, I don't know that he's living in a box. I mean,
come on.
He might be in a box. Okay.
Now I know how to get your little insurance payout. I know what you're thinking.
Dive off a boat in the Mediterranean.
Outside of Prudential, your claim won't amount to diddly squat.
You think you're real smart? Who am I looking at? Al Capone? Supervillain Al Capone?
Oh, God. So he's touched a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Or paranoid. Okay. I mean, there's obviously, he's not on the grid. So in that case, some people might say he's the sanest one of us all. But he was driven to do this.
The grifter thing runs through your whole family, doesn't it? A little bit, I know you always talk about your dad scamming people.
It's more of a Bruce thing. It's more of my uncle Bruce. But I think we all have a little bit of it. And but that's
is Bruce the guy I met out in
he's been
Vegas?
To two of our Vegas shows.
I love Bruce.
Oh,
nice
he's the
guy.
Best.
Very nice.
And
man.
Now a everyday diehard listener. So hello Bruce, which
Hi,
is
Bruce.
Very cool.
Hello Bruce.
How you doing,
buddy?
Federal agents said that he thought up the scam. My cousin thought up the scam in 1985.
After watching an episode of Columbo.
Yeah, but I mean, seriously, let's put this in historical perspective. 1985, the world was very different. I mean, no internet, no easy way to like find a Google to somebody to what they are or anything. Yeah. So probably
I remember
in his
one
head,
particular thing. That
probably
when,
was a good idea back then.
You know, that's when the Don and Mike show started.
Exactly.
1985, 86. I remember one particular thing about 1985.
I don't think there was any of that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So he was at this point working in Germany for the U.S. Army. And so he went from Germany to Sicily, thought up the scam, then went to Illinois, where he started to obtain fake identifications. Now, I have here from another court case a list of all of his aliases that he used.
Oh, my gosh. This is great.
So, wow, this is amazing,
this is
Rob.
Great.
Okay, so this is from the U.S. Court of Appeals, Fourth Circuit. This was posted February 24th, 1993. They list his first name, United States of America Plaintiff Appellee v. my cousin, a.k.a. Robert Lee Dorsey, a.k.a. Lee Dorsey, a.k.a. H. Smithton, a.k.a. Robert Gale, and here's the best one because he's from this town, a.k.a. Peter Arlington.
Oh, Peter Arlington.
Wow.
It sounds like a bad superhero. I'm Captain Arlington.
Peter Arlington.
That's so... I mean, but now I keep going between the guy might have been touched or deluded to the guy might have been a... When you have multiple aliases, this isn't your first time trying to scam people.
But when you're really smart... I've always thought this. When you're really smart, you give up something else. And maybe he lacked a little sanity to get the brilliance to put this scheme together. And I'm not saying it's brilliant, but I mean, it almost worked.
I was saying that my point was, this might not have been the first time he scammed people.
It's possible.
Probably true. Yeah. But wait, the story does grow a little hair once he gets to jail. But I do want to say when he was found, when he was discovered, remember, he did that in 85. He was arrested in 92. So he got away with the $92,000 for quite some time.
Yeah.
He was found in Richmond. Arrested on February 7th, 1992, living under the name Robert L. Dorsey and employed as a $21,000 a year computer operator for a law firm.
Hey.
Wow.
They'll hire anyone.
So he was listening in Richmond.
This is like the talented Mr. Dorsey. That's what it really is.
He's probably listening to this podcast.
Well, it's also with Italy and stuff. I mean, doesn't it sound like the Matt Damon movie? Yeah. It sounds a little bit like this.
No, it sounds like it sounds like Catch Me If You Can.
A little bit like Catch Me If You Can.
Because I met that guy.
Met Frank Abagnale?
Oh, I went to a lecture he gave, and then I watched the movie and read the book. I was like totally blown away. Super cool guy. That's super cool.
Obviously he's not anything like doesn't look anything like Leonardo DiCaprio. What was the
he's a good looking
was
guy.
The personality similar to the way DiCaprio played him in the movie a little bit, or
it's hard to tell because he's older. Yeah. Right. So just what you just said, I'm not great with age, Mike, but he was 60, or, you know, at least when I met him. So looking at him as a 25-year-old guy conning his way onto being a co-pilot or pilot or whatever, it's really hard to see. But I think he probably was a dashing, you know, cut of a guy as a young man.
We call him charismatic. He was on the Tonight Show.
Definitely charismatic. He had that.
It's easy to find long form interviews of him on YouTube, and his stories are great.
His stories are fantastic,
and that movie holds up. I love that film.
You know, when I listen to this story about your cousin, I am just thinking, as much as
he could have been Frank Abagnale,
it's a tragedy, and obviously he got caught and he went to jail. Americans are just fascinated by this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's really trying to get over on the man. And
But I mean, this just gets hairier and hairier.
He goes to jail, and he should.
Let's hear it. Let's
because,
hear it.
You know, he's guilty and all this stuff, and he's no longer in Sicily, and they're no longer saying, hey, come on his way, Mr. Arlington. We have a new table right here.
I'm waiting for Mike to do the voice from Andy Dufresne, crawl through 3 foot ball
I never
fields.
Understood. Yes, sir.
Sorry,
what was his name? Lee Dorsey?
Lee Dorsey.
Lee Dorsey crawled through 300 yards of filth. No, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mike. I really wanted that.
You're welcome, Charlie.
He's in jail. I'm going to do a slight parallel story to help explain what's about to happen. In 1997, a Virginia Beach lawyer is being held in Spain on federal fugitive charges, and he gets shipped back to the United States. He's found guilty, and he's put in jail with my cousin. So they start plotting. This guy that has been brought in from Spain is so pissed at his judge that found him guilty that he's bemoaning the fact to his cellmate, my cousin. So my cousin from jail starts to cook up another plot.
This does have some legs.
Oh, my
God. Holy crap.
Now, I don't know. Nobody in the family knew about this, but I was able to bunny trail to it. What my cousin found is a guy who was going to be released before them from jail, and they were cooking up a deal to pay him to, and I quote, throw acid in the face of and or break the legs of the judge.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And
this is going from like the innocent fake your death, which wasn't all that innocent. To
no, not really.
No. I mean, committing some sort of potential attempted murder.
Yeah, this is. Go ahead, Charlie.
It's quite a mix, Rob. The acid in the face or break the legs.
That's
I mean, it's a completely different skill set.
This comes from the this is from the Norfolk archives of their court. Okay. It says Hirschfield allegedly arranged a 1993 meeting of my cousin and the inmate. Hirschfield is the guy that came from Spain, during which my cousin asked the inmate to assault Judge Clark by, quote, taking the victim's glasses off and throwing acid in the victim's eyes or breaking both legs.
That's so weird.
And that's according to my cousin's indictment, which added a little time to him staying in jail. Yeah. The judge was never attacked.
Yeah. Wow. But they were going to remove the glasses, so the glasses would have been okay.
Well,
just let's think about optical wear.
You don't hit a guy with glasses.
I mean, just
so.
All right, here's a question I have before you go on.
All right,
wow. Yeah,
as far as the sisters, your mom, and the memories of this guy growing up,
right?
The people that had contact. Any clue about was there always something amiss with this dude?
I have to say this, is that remember there was sort of a turn when my mom was like a teenager where the family became a little more distant from our family. But according to my mom's memory and all of my cousin's memories that I'm still in touch with, he was always a little off and his dad was always a little off. And, you know, it's hard to bring up a memory. My mom was 10 in 1960.
Yeah.
So we're looking at like nearly 60, well, exactly 60 years ago. It's hard to put your finger on what's, you know, the details of what makes you have a lingering memory of someone being different. But he was a little to a point that when I brought my mom knew all about the faking death story and the whole family did. And we sort of joked it off because it was just, you know, a very distant relative pulling some shenanigans and ultimately getting caught. But when I came to her,
I wouldn't
about,
call throwing acid in a judge's face shenanigans.
That's what I'm saying.
Jumping off
is
the
when
ship's
I,
funny, but the acid's not funny.
When I got to the arranging for the leg breaking of a justice, a member of the justice system,
that's pretty.
My mom and I, we just went, you know, that's that adds a lot to it. And also, no one in the family knew about it. So if you ever go in and use the Google to find out what your family's
Were you the one that found this?
Yeah, I found out. So
you're the sleuth? You're the family sleuth?
My favorite thing that I discovered is that his alias was Robert Arlington.
Yes.
Robert Arlington. That's Rob right there, Charlie. Forget about the acid in the face. He likes the crazy.
Well, I mean, let's focus on what's funny. I mean,
my name is Arlington.
Robert Arlington. I'm sorry. It was Robert Dorsey. Peter Arlington.
Yes, Peter Arlington.
Yeah. And have you gotten this to the whole family? Has this gone out?
No, I wanted to break it on this show, and then I'll tell the family.
The Peter Arlington story.
Yeah,
wow,
so
that's amazing,
go.
Rob. That is absolutely amazing. Wow, absolutely phenomenal. Peter Arlington.
And, trapped in a world he never made.
I'm surprised he didn't use the name Ron Mexico.
Man, my, I got
we all
like
come
that
from
my family.
We all come from good stock.
Yeah. Well, you more than us.
All I know is if I don't get this house sold, look for me taking a Caribbean cruise.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike's in
jump
Sicily.
Mike's house jumped over the boat.
We will take a break and come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, King's Things.
Hi, I'm Larry. Bob Eubanks. Still the best. I don't understand why stores don't sell single sticks of chewing gum. I don't like the way that crow is looking at me. The Grand Canyon makes me sad. They use a lot of salt. The Swiss think they're so great. I never have enough dimes. Ham makes me anxious. When I need a laugh, I listen to the TMOS bonus show. Your passport to the assport. Whoa. Funny, right? Buy it at MichaelMaryShow.com.
Thank you very much. Are you going to give me musical accompaniment for this bonus show package read here that I'm going to be doing?
I think dry is best. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for a Robert Shaw Jaws impression.
Thank you.
This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by our bonus packages.
Thank a little you. Something extra.
Y'all know me. You know how I earn 11. I'll record a bonus show for you, but it ain't going to be easy. Bad words, adult topics. It's not like going down to the pond chasing bluegills or tommy cards. This bonus show will swallow you whole. A little joking, a little arguing, and down you go. Now you gotta buy it quick. That'll bring back the comedy, and it'll put your podcast back on a paying basis. But it ain't gonna be pleasant. I value my neck a lot more than a free download, Chief. I'll record it for free, but I'll post it, and I'll release it. For a nominal fee. You got to make up your minds. Going to stay alive and ante up? Or you want to play it cheap, be on welfare the whole winter? I don't want no volunteers. I don't want no mates. There's too many captains on the internet. Buy the bonus show. For that, you get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing. The bonus show. Available at MikeOmeraShow.com. Mr. Mayor, Chief, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We're going to need a bigger podcast studio.
News.
Boo.
Oh, I like that.
Wait,
Rob.
That's
I like
Oscar.
I like any chance to do Robert Shaw.
It's incredible.
Farewell and adieu, you fair Spanish lady.
The only hard part about that was choosing which monologue from Jaws to use.
Yeah.
That was the one. That was so much fun.
That was good.
I'll do Robert Shaw whenever you want me to.
Excellent.
Let's start. Another perp in the college admission scandal has been sentenced to hard time.
That's right.
Her name is Michelle Janavs. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I really don't care.
You the Hot Pocket
and
lady?
And she is... I think she is, yeah.
Yeah,
she's the heir to the mighty Hot Pockets
pocket
fortune.
Yeah.
She paid $100,000 to help her two daughters cheat on their SATs. Mm-hmm. She also paid another $200,000 to have one of the girls set up to look like a beach volleyball recruit so she could get into USC. Sound familiar?
You know how the hipster burned his mouth, Mike?
Oh, how's that?
I'm not going to like this.
He ate his Hot Pocket before it was cool.
Oh, Jesus God.
We're here all week. Remember a few years ago when the White House doctor, remember that guy Ronnie Jackson?
Oh, yeah.
He touted the president's health, saying it was incredible health, incredible genes.
It was like a god on earth.
Yeah, the best genes.
I think this is from People Magazine, and behind the scenes, Jackson and others close to Trump were trying to curtail his bad habits. This is a quote. Jackson says, quote, "We were making the ice cream less accessible."
That's exactly what Carla
was
going to
say. Yeah.
Rocky Road.
Hiding it behind the ham.
That's right.
I don't know what you do.
And they were also putting cauliflower in the mashed potatoes. He also
that
said
doesn't sound good.
Plans to make. But I mean, I think if you put. The thing is, you know, you don't do.
That's
cauliflower in the mashed potatoes. Yeah. You make mashed cauliflower.
That's right.
Thank you, Mike.
Can we please take just a step back? Is our president ostensibly the most powerful man in the world, eating so many mashed potatoes
that
by diluting them, it's going to make any difference. I mean, what is he, like a four potato a day guy?
Because I think he likes mashed potatoes.
He likes mashed potatoes.
I love mashed potatoes, but I have them maybe five times a year. Yeah. And so I don't know.
Oh, liar. You have them more than that.
I don't.
You have more than five times a year.
Oh, it's too hard to peel them.
Like at a restaurant. He said plans to make Trump exercise more never took off. So there's
make him exercise by hiding the ice cream.
I know how to do it. Have his television be connected to a exercise
a
bicycle, so unless
or,
he's pedaling, it won't turn on.
Yeah,
still won't work. No, it won't. Last month, Hank Azaria announced that after 30 plus years, he'd no longer be voicing Apu on The Simpsons due to recent criticism over the voice being an offensive stereotype. In a new interview with the New York Times, Hank said, quote, "Once I realized that there was a way this character was thought of, I just didn't want to participate anymore. It just didn't feel right. That represents a real blind spot I had. There I am, joyfully basing a character on what was already considered quite upsetting. The issue, by the way, I'm a fan of Hank Azaria.
Me too.
Hank Azaria is a good guy and a brilliant actor and a voice guy. If you want to know face with the name, think of The Birdcage, the guy that plays the houseboy.
Yeah, does he wear shoes? Does he mention in the article he's wearing shoes?
Agador Spartacus. The issue got mainstream attention thanks to a documentary called The Problem with Abu. And the director is happy that Hank has decided to step down. Quote, "Whatever happens with the character to me is secondary. I'm happy that Hank did the work that a lot of people wouldn't have. I feel like he's a really thoughtful person and he got the bigger picture. It's still unclear if Abu will disappear from The Simpsons altogether or if another voice actor will take over. I hope they don't do that."
Yeah,
Hank is staying with the show where he voices several other characters, including Mo Cislak. Sizzlack, sorry.
Hey.
Chief Wiggum and a comic book guy.
You know what?
Comic book guy.
This is amazing because The Simpsons is an era that I watched from the very beginning. It started when I was in college. It's still around. And this is
unbelievable.
Transformative because this really can be paralleled with some of the cringeworthy moments of 1930s cinema where they're racially insensitive, but the stuff still exists.
And the cartoons.
Yeah,
the cartoons for the Japanese.
But what's really weird to me is that this all happened in my lifetime.
Yeah.
That other stuff I can distance myself from because it was long before I was born.
Yeah.
But I think it's positive that we're still seeing an evolution away from it.
Yeah, I mean, I did stuff 30 years ago that I wouldn't be able to do today. I mean, that's just the way it goes. Animated GIFs are one of the primary ways people communicate on the internet today, only behind emojis and unsolicited genitalia photos. But there's an eternal debate.
Stop sending those, please.
Over the right way. They're all over Podcast Village.
Pony.
Dongfest.
Terrible. I mean, really, it's silly.
Yeah. Stop it.
But there's a debate over the right way to pronounce it. GIFs. Is it pronounced like the word gift without the T at the end, or is it pronounced GIF like the peanut butter?
It's a debate of a hard G or a soft G.
Precisely. How do you when you see one?
I call it a GIF. Just came in.
Charlie just creeped me out.
Bob Hope spotting Lana Turner.
Jif the peanut butter finally weighed in. They've started selling two versions of their peanut butter, one with the standard JIF label with a message saying soft G pronunciation, and one that says GIF on the label with the message hard G pronunciation.
All right, that's brilliant.
I think it's very, very cool. In other words, they think the animated images are pronounced like gift and not like their peanut butter. The jars are on Amazon for $10, which is 2.5 times the price of a jar without it. But they're already sold out, so expect to see them on eBay for an even bigger premium.
I think the person we need to go to sits in the other room. Pony, what is the preferred pronunciation?
GIF is what I've heard. I'm sorry, GIF. My bad. You confused me. It is
thanks,
GIF.
Pony.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's
thank
be
you
completely
so much.
Confused.
There you go. Very good.
I'm just so pleased that I asked.
I'm just pleased with the story about the marketing creating an opportunity.
Ribbon.
I think that's really, it's really cool.
It's blue ribbon. That's a callback to the mayonnaise discussion.
Why don't you put a blue ribbon around your face?
You know what's better than getting drunk on cheap beer?
Huh.
Getting drunk on free beer.
Yes!
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have known that.
Miller Lite just announced that this Saturday, February 29th, they are celebrating Leap Day by giving everyone a free 24-pack of beer.
Oh, my gosh. What a terrible idea.
You just buy the case Send them your receipt, and they will refund the cost to you on PayPal. By the way, it's the first time that Leap Day has fallen on a Saturday since 1992, so it's the ideal Leap Day for drinking all 24 of those beers.
I'm going to do it because that's my mom's favorite, and I like to keep some in the house for when she comes over. Free beer. Yeah.
Go take advantage.
Yes.
Why not? And now, Charlie Burney and Rob Spiewak, a little something-something for both of you.
Yes.
There's a 75-year-old guy named John King who was at a hospital in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, for respiratory failure over the weekend. And, like, I've spent some time with my my hip surgery in the hospital. You can sometimes feel neglected to the point of,
oh my gosh,
you know, you've been completely forgotten. Well, he felt, this guy, John King, not the guy from CNN, he felt like the nurses were ignoring him when he asked them to bring him his clothes. Especially if you're ready to get discharged.
No, you
sometimes
want it
you
out.
Go, you go
that
out
takes
of your mind.
Forever. You way. Go crazy.
So, but John had a little problem. So to get their attention, he did what everybody would do under a similar circumstance. He lit his hospital bed on fire.
Oh, no.
That's not what I would have done. I wouldn't have done
King.
That did get the nurse's attention, mainly when the 84-year-old guy who John was sharing the hospital room with yelled to them, quote,
burned up.
The mother effer in here lit his bed on fire. I can't breathe.
Well, there's a quote for you.
Fortunately, one of the nurses put out the fire with a fire extinguisher. No one was hurt, but the bed was completely destroyed. The staff caught John trying to escape on the elevator and held him until the cops got there. He was arrested for felony arson, and we have not had a Florida slogan of the day for quite some time.
I'm excited.
I'm guessing that you've prepared one for today's show.
I have one here.
Yes, please.
I thought you might enjoy. Florida, it's sunny, it's warm, there's lots to do, and all the old people are pissed off anyway. Thank you very much. That's it.
I still want to know if he got his clothes.
Hey, I urge everybody to come down here this time of year with the beautiful weather and just see how many people are legitimately pissed off at everybody, at everything.
I think I'll go to Maine instead. There'll be less people there now.
Brilliant. We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, my Mardi Gras Mike. Notice I didn't say Fat Tuesday. A new Oh My Gov show is out, and we ask, are you ready for the truths we dare not tell ourselves? We've got a tarot reader just dying to read our cards, and we're shaking things up with a famed party grom mixologist with our first ever hurricane competition. Subscribe now to the Oh My Gov show on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. Laissez la bon temps rouler.
Thank you, Angie. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Zappos. Being a parent is tough. Anyone can be a father, but it takes a special sort to be a dad.
Yes.
Also, any bird can build a nest, but it isn't every bird that can lay an egg, which is why you need Robot Baby. Robot Baby can train you to be a fine parent, even the though you're only 17 years old. Wipe virtual tears. Change any diaper filled with VR poop. Use the fabulous Apple eye bottle. It can all be yours thanks to the new 5G Bluetooth-enabled Robot Baby. You can even dress your Robot Baby with tiny shoes and Wii garments from Zappos.
Yes!
Wii garments for Wii people. Zappos has everything in every size, so even if you don't have Robot Baby, you can look your best too, or match your Robot Baby twinsie. Totes adorbs.
Yeah, can you imagine Robert dressed exactly like his Robot Baby? How adorable is that?
That's just great. This is the 20th year that Zappos continues to offer over 1,000 trusted brand names to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe that they love. Support us both by accessing Zappos through our website. Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Thank you, Zappos. You are our favorite. Remember, keep that Robot Baby fully charged, and please, no shaking. Am I right, ladies? There you go. Thank
you. Unless you want to reboot. You got to shake it really hard to reboot.
Update, there was a mix-up with the scheduling. We get Robot Baby next weekend.
Oh, man, oh. I wanted robot baby stories.
Well, we will have robot baby right. stories, and here's the great thing. The weekend,
would he let you take robot baby into work? Would that be illegal?
I think that's
that?
Probably against the rules, but
yeah.
I will examine it.
It has to be close to him.
I don't want to be responsible for a baby here, Mike.
The good thing is that the first night that we have robot baby, we, the Spiewax, are hosting supper club, so I'm going to make him show robot baby to all the drunken couples of my neighborhood.
That's so
You'll
wonderful.
Have to drink quietly so robot baby can sleep.
That's true. That's true.
Drink quietly.
Okay, message to all you DJs right, out there that can't wait to be funny. Okay, disc jockeys, cool it. This parody record is not funny.
Coronavirus.
Yes, my corona.
My coronavirus.
All right, I'm going to wait until at least they try a lyric. Okay. But
thank you.
It's not funny.
I wish I had the sound effect. Thank you, Mike.
My corona, is that what it is?
Yeah, so not only is it not funny, it's late to the party, and it's badly produced.
And it's lazy because it's not right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's not.
So DJs, stop it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe spend some time on TikTok. I went back and forth as to whether or not to play this audio today. But I think since it was trending yesterday on TikTok, I need to share it to let you know where we are as a virtual nation on social media. This is an Australian teenager, and the video starts. He is in a t-shirt and jeans, and he is facing his mother, who is also fully clothed in t-shirt and jeans. And when the drums come in on the record they are playing, he slaps her breasts.
Oh my God, that's not good.
What?
That was my reaction, too. They're just standing at each other, and when the drums come in, he slaps her breasts in the rhythm of the song.
Up or down? Or
oh,
sideways.
My God.
I think it's
enough to make that loud of a noise.
It's an up and a down. I think it's a boom, boom. But anyway, if that's what you need to trend on TikTok, I'm staying away from that format.
Yeah, goodbye.
I'm out.
Thank you.
I'm out.
Yeah.
That's two in a row.
All right.
Oof.
Billy Joel. You know, he has a residency at Madison Square Garden.
The last time
he did his tour and he did it at Madison Square Garden, his house got robbed.
Oh, that's right, in Long Island,
that's
right?
That's right. He addressed that at the opening show of this residency.
Welcome to Madison Square Garden. Last time I was here, they hit my house. Everybody knows I'm not home.
Look at him.
I got dogs, lights, guns, everything in the house now. I'm hoping they try it again. Come on, bring it
up. I applaud him keeping his sense of humor, even though he now looks like Darth Vader when he takes his helmet off.
Oh, no. I was wondering how he's aged.
That's how
he's
looking.
We haven't seen Billy in a long time.
Still sounds great. Still one of the greatest concerts I ever went to.
Really?
Really great.
I'd like to see him.
All right, Mike, I don't want to pile on in Florida, but Dateline Miami, a lady and her wife went to a hospital. There had been some gunplay, and she was bleeding from the head. The doctor,
a lady and her wife,
yes,
you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
And the hospital, the first hospital they went in Miami, they said, oh, it looks like you were grazed, and they put a Band-Aid on it. It continued to hurt. They went to a second hospital, who conveniently took an x-ray and found out there was a bullet lodged in the lady's head.
Oh, my God.
They did an x-ray at Baptist Hospital, where we at now, and they had found the bullet. So they had to do emergency surgery on her.
She's okay, but the hospital that misses the bullet is maybe not your best hospital.
Yeah,
that would have been different if she set her bed on fire.
That's so true, Mike. Mm-hmm. Let's talk Godzilla. Rapper Eminem has a new song called Godzilla, and he's issued what is called the Godzilla Challenge. He wants his fans to try to keep up with a portion of the song. It is a 31-second rap in the middle of the song. In 31 seconds, he raps 224 words. That means he is saying 7.23 words every second. Some of his fans are able to match him, but check this out. I'm not a big rap guy, but I have to admit,
I have not heard
this
it.
Is impressive.
Fill him with the venom and eliminate him. Other words, I'm intimate him. I don't want to hurt him, but I did him in a fit of rage. I'm murdering again. Nobody will evade him. Feeling kill him. Everybody's in a lake, obliterating. Everything is generated. Renegade him. Hit him. Make anybody who want it with the pin and frame. Don't nobody want it, but they're going to get it anyway. I'm beginning to feel like I'm mentally ill. I'm a killer. Be killed. I'm a killer. Be the vanilla gorilla. You're bringing the killer within me. I dichotomy. You don't want to be the enemy of the demon who enemy. I'd be a receiving enemy. What stupidity it'd be. Every bit of me's the epitome of a spitter when I'm in the vicinity. You better duck or you finna be dead the minute you run into me. 100% of you is a fifth of a percent of me. I'm about to finish you, bitch. I'm unfatable. You want to battle? I'm available. I'm blowing up like an inflatable. I'm undebatable. I'm unavoidable. I'm unevadable. I'm on the toilet bowl. I got a trailer full of money and I'm paid it full. I'm not afraid to pull them. Man, stop.
So Marshall Mathers. Too much coffee.
Yeah. I think one of the lines was, I'm on the toilet.
Yeah, well, very busy guy. That is your magic audio vault.
Wow.
Have a great Wednesday,
hey,
everybody.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for letting me sit in Oscar's chair today.
Charlie
it was my
Bernie,
pleasure.
Seat filler. Yeah,
Charlie,
really
the Podcast
it.
Village, Poobah. Two
thank
locations
you,
now in Wisconsin Avenue down on M Street.
Yeah,
continued,
man.
Good luck. Everything going well with Podcast Village?
Everything's
happy?
Going great. We just need you up here more often.
I know. You know what? I can't lie to you.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to. All right. I'll be right up next week.
Just put on your real estate hat and lie to me.
I'll be up when I sell the house. I'll come up to DC when I sell the house.
By the way, your house just sold during the show.
Very exciting.
Congratulations.
Well, Mike. It went well.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Thank you, Charlie. Oscar, come back from Maui soon.
Yeah.
And Rob Spiewak, Ponyboy Matt Blue, Matty Masiello, thank you very much. And to Peter Dalton, is that the name of the...
No, Peter Arlington.
Peter Arlington.
Peter Arlington. Yeah. Peter Arlington.
It's going to be my superhero name.
Glad you're out of the Who's-Go. That's what we're going to get out. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, this is the worst-looking hat I ever saw. Oh, it looks good on you, though.
What the hell is this?
That's a Sicilian message. It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Ha ha ha! Ernie, ha ha!